open to the book of Joshua today. I'm going to do a brief second part of the message I began last week entitled, We've Not Been This Way Before. Open to Joshua chapter 3, and we're just going to spend a few moments today challenging us. And I was going to move on from this, but in my time of prayer, preparation for today, I didn't feel like I really could. Because I want to share some things with you about pursuing the will of God for your life. It is really, really one of the great challenges that all of us have to somehow flesh out in our day-to-day experiences. Joshua chapter 3, verses we read last week. I won't recapitulate what we shared, but we were talking about simply the fact that the children of Israel had come to a point that they had never been before. And the Lord was preparing them for the upcoming campaign of Canaan. Remember, you are not only saved from something, but for something. You were saved for a purpose. You weren't just saved to escape hell per se. You were saved for a reason. Saved from something, for something. And the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt for a reason, because they were delivered from Egypt for Canaan. Now let's go back, verse 1, Joshua chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the acacia grove and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. Verse 2, and so it was, after 3 days, that the officer went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, everyone say the Ark of the Covenant. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits. This is where the Jewish people came up with the Sabbath day's journey, this distance between themselves and the Ark. It comes from this very verse. And there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. Everyone say, sanctify yourselves. Now, again, not to reiterate what we shared last week, but this is unusual. Because much like the passage in Philippians where Paul would say, work out your own salvation, this is one of those kind of comments. Because we say to ourselves, well, I can't sanctify myself, but you have to partner with God in the process. There is a practical part of sanctification you got to live out, you got to walk out, you got to be a part of. And unless you cooperate, hello, the Spirit of God, at the moment of our conversion, there's already a process where we become the hagios, the set apart ones, the saints of God. But that process of living out that sainthood in this process of sanctifying yourself on a day-by-day basis, that's our job. And we have to make sure that we give it our dead level best, which isn't always easy. Hello. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. The sanctifying ourselves prepares us for the wonders. You have not been this way before. Let's pray. Father, take the word today. Anointed by the power of your Spirit. Speak to us as only you can in this service and among this people. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. American journalist Germany Kent was quoted as saying, if you're going to do things you have never done before, you're going to have to go places you've never been. You know, I think it was Einstein of all people that said the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over and hoping for different results. You know, if you keep on doing what you're doing, you typically are going to keep on getting what you're getting. In order for there to be different results, we have to be willing to be stretched by God's Spirit in new ways. The children of Israel coming up out of Egypt, as they're now at the edge of Canaan, at the bank of literally the Jordan River, he said to them, you're going to go where you've never gone before. Wonders are going to happen among you as you sanctify yourselves. I think a lot of us, if we're really honest about it, would say we would love to see things we've never seen before. We would love to experience things we've never experienced before. But that's going to require God taking you places you've never been. And that's a challenge. Because that's kind of scary. Pursuing the will of God has been described as grabbing a kite by the tail. Now, grabbing a kite by the tail sounds really cool, but it's really freaky. The very thought of doing that. Because if you've ever watched a kite, and our grandson loves flying kites, and he and his gamma, they go out in the backyard and they fly these kites. And every once in a while that kite gets elevated, but have you ever watched it? And it all of a sudden dip. It does it like that. And it'll go like this, it'll go like that. Grabbing a kite for the tail is in one respect, sounds really exciting. Some of you in this room are amusement park aficionados. You like the wild rides, the fast rides, the big rides. I remember our first visit to Disney World, and Jan, who's here today, was just a little shiver, just tall enough to reach the appropriate height line for the ride, Space Mountain. And she screamed and she carried on, and I thought she hated it, despised it. We got to the end, and she goes, Daddy, let's do it again. Some people are wired like that. They're skydivers. They like the fast ride. They like the wild experience. There's some of us that aren't quite wired like that. We see some of that and it scares us half to death, let alone standing in line for 3 hours to go through such a chiropractic adjusting experience. Well, pursuing the will of God, now listen to me, if you really allow God to take you where he wants you to go, it's going to be a little bit of that. Because you don't know where God might take you if you just yield yourself to him. And that's what freaks some people out. Because some people want everything predictable, comfortable, kind of know what's already coming in advance. I believe this with all of my heart. We're walking in the very center of God's plan for our life. There's a real peace to doing that. But I will tell you, in that peace, God will never let you get too comfortable. Because there's a world out there that needs more than what any of us have thus far yet touched, tasted, or experienced. And we can't give away what we ain't got. Somehow we're going to have to go places in God if we're ever hope to take anybody else there. And the children of Israel, coming up out of Egypt, destined to conquer Canaan, the promised land, in order for them to do what they were going to have to do, God was going to have to take them places they'd never been. And they didn't know what that meant. As we talked last week, the first generation died in the desert. It wasn't plan A. Anybody who thinks God is limited to plan A has never read the Bible from cover to cover. Or as one of the old country preachers said, from generations to revolutions. They've never really read it. Because I will tell you, if God's been limited to plan A, a lot would never have been accomplished. So many times, in so many lives, mistakes have been made. And it hasn't been plan A. Sometimes it's been plan B, C, D, or Z in so many situations. And these people standing at the edge of the Jordan were not the first generation. Though it was God's plan to lead in that generation, they failed at Kadesh. It was their children that God anointed and set apart for the work that was before them. But he said, in order for you to go where I'm about to take you, you've never been there before. You need to sanctify yourself, for wonders are about to occur among you. If you read this text carefully and read it for yourself later and study it, one thing is clear. Those who are led best are ark-led. Those who are led best are ark-led. Now, what do you mean by that? The Ark of the Covenant was a picture of the presence of God in the midst of His people. In Old Testament times, the presence of God dwelt between the wings of the cherubim above the ark. On the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, when the high priest would go into the Holy of All, blood would be taken over the lid of that ark, where the angels, the seraphs, extended their wings, and the blood would be smeared across that lid as if it were covering the eyes of those angels. And that was the kafar, the covering, the atonement. That ark represented the very presence of God in the midst of His people. And the people were taught to follow the ark. Key all of decision making based on what happened with that ark in Old Testament time. We're now living in New Testament times, where now that ark is no longer a fixture of contemporary worship. But I will tell you, those who are best led are those who are ark-led, i.e. those who are walking according to the guidance of God's presence. Those who are led best are those who follow the direction of God's presence for their life. That in and of itself is a challenge because you've got to be keyed in, tapped in. Now, I want to share very, very quickly with you today three concepts about the children of Israel following this ark and what it says to us about discovering for ourselves what it means to walk in obedience to the purpose and the will of God for our lives. Number one, the children of Israel had to be sensitive to the moving of the ark. One, they had to be sensitive to the moving of the ark. They were instructed not to do anything unless the ark moved. And when the ark was prepared to move, then they were to move. And that ark, which was situated in the tent of meeting and later the tabernacle of Moses, if that ark remained in its place, the people did not move. You study for yourself in the Old Testament. They were camped around Mount Sinai for an extended period of time while the Decalogue, while the law of Moses was given to the people, you know, the failure of people at Sinai, and then that those tablets had to be recrafted, recreated. But that ark, as soon as the ark moved, the people moved. And they had to be sensitive to the whole concept of the leadership of God's presence in their midst. If God didn't move, they didn't move. But when the waters were troubled, and when things began to happen, the Spirit of God was indicating that a move was upon them, then they moved out. And this Old Testament gives us the guidelines of which tribes led and which order those tribes would be dispersed and how they would move forward, where the ark was situated, where the priests were situated, and every aspect of that process. Now listen. There's something about being sensitive in your life and my life to God's will for us. We need to be very, very careful that we don't become a little heavy-handed and try to take matters upon ourselves. Because we need to know what it is God wants for us. You know, it's a whole lot easier for somebody to kind of tell you what it is God's will for you. We got people running all over the place trying to get somebody to give them a word. Well, it's a whole lot easier to let somebody else do your work, isn't it? But we need to discover and sensitive. I believe it was Charles Finney that talked about that. You know when a revival is about to occur when the sovereign plan of God indicates one is at hand. Charles Finney in Lectures of Revivals of Religion said, You can expect a revival when the sovereignty of God indicates one is at hand. That kind of acts like, kind of like it sounds like double talk. But it's not. Because I'm going to tell you that when God's about to do something, He'll show you. He'll speak to you. He'll begin to kind of reveal things to you. And you got to be sensitive to that. Because the worst thing of all is to get stuck in a rut. We feel like we're going nowhere, like real fast. If we'll stay sensitive, it's amazing how God will lead us. I'm not saying that, you know, any of us are going to become T.D. Jakes or Joyce Myers. Or what it will do is it will guide us in the most incredible of ways. If we can just stay sensitive. And that requires spending enough time in God's presence to know His voice and to sense His movement. And God will begin a process in each and every one of us if we'll just dare to listen to Him. I know it. I know you say, well, I don't even know what the voice of God sounds like. Ask Him. Ask Him to speak to you. And then do something that's double dog difficult. Say, God, if you begin to show me, I'll try to do my best to be obedient to you. Keep me sensitive to whatever it is that you're doing. And I know sometimes we think about the great big thing, but God typically starts with the little stuff, doesn't He? He begins with the little steps of obedience, which will lead us into much larger. If you look at any battle, any significant battle, you name of any war of any time of any generation, we think of a great battle like Gettysburg. But if you've ever been to Gettysburg, you know there was all sorts of little battles going over all over that battlefield. You got Little Round Top, and you've got Pickett's Charge later on. You've got all of these different events that were happening across the whole panorama of Gettysburg during that three-day battle. There were all sorts of little engagements that made up a larger engagement. And like little pearls sewn together in our lives, God is going to bring us through these experiences. Initially, it may not even seem like anybody else any great big thing. But those little things will lead into larger things, and God is leading us somewhere. If we can just stay sensitive enough to His Spirit, He'll begin to speak to us. He'll begin to direct us. And I know sometimes it might even seem goofy, some of the stuff that God might say, but there's something about that ark, that when the ark began to move, the people were ready to move with it. And they were sensitive to every movement of the ark. We must be sensitive to every move of God's presence. Hear me. Hear me. Don't ever start telling God no. No matter what. No matter what He asks you to do. Just try your best to be obedient. You're going to make some mistakes. It's okay. Can I tell you something? Be willing to make mistakes. Be willing. What I'm saying by that, I'm not saying go out and sin. Don't you walk out of here and say that. I'll chase you down. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the process of being sensitive, there's always that fear you're going to do something wrong. Right? And so some people don't do anything for fear they're going to do something wrong. Now, my wife, anybody ever played spider solitaire in the house? My wife plays with eight decks, and she beats it. That drives me crazy because I can't beat it with one deck. And I've tried to play that game, and I say, sweetheart, how do you do it? She says, I'm not afraid to make a mistake. Sometimes in the process of moving this and around, it won't work. So I realize I just go back, and she'll keep messing with it, and keep messing with it, and keep messing with it, and go like, and hold decks, and she clears it out. Let me tell you something. Maybe nobody's ever told you this. Don't be afraid about getting in the flesh. God's big enough boy to get you back in line if you step out of line. He can tell you if you've messed up. And believe me, if you've messed up, people will tell you. That's not God. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it isn't. But if we can somehow just stay sensitive enough and maybe be willing to make a mistake, maybe be willing to say something. Every revival, as Dr. Gordon Anderson at North Central University talks about, every revival has dirt and divinity. The divinity's God, the dirt's us. Every move of God has dirt and divinity. God's at work, but man's in the middle of it. And whenever man's in the middle of it, things are going to happen that shouldn't happen. People are going to go too far, they're going to say too much, right? And some people say, well, we don't want revivals then, because every time I see a move of God, people get in the flesh. People are in the flesh anyway. Isn't it a whole lot better for the power and the move of God to be in the middle of all that? Yeah, people are going to say too much. People are going to do far. But as Brother Andrew says, it's a whole lot easier to restrain a maniac than resurrect a corpse. Hello? So, being sensitive, there may be times in the process of trying to tap into what God is doing, maybe there will be something that you say, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. But the willingness, to me, I would much rather be Peter at the time when Jesus came walking on the water and all of the disciples saw him coming and they were scared to death. They thought it was a ghost, right? Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you. Now, I've heard it preached all my life. All my life.
Yeah, but Peter lost his faith. He sank down in the middle of the waves.
I don't criticize Peter for getting out of the boat. I criticize the other 11 for not doing anything. Who else has walked on water? You know he came back walking on the water with Jesus to the boat? Right? Peter was somehow sensitive and did something that nobody's ever else done. Who else has ever walked on water? Unless you're ice fishing. I don't know of anybody else in history other than Jesus. Listen, we need that over-the-side style. We need to somehow allow God to stretch us and challenge us. To do what we've never done before. That means we'll experience things we've never experienced. It'll scare you half to death sometimes when God gets you out of your comfort zone. And God never lets us get too comfortable. Because he wants to lead us where we've never been. So first of all, they had to be sensitive. But second of all, they had to be obedient. When the ark moved, they had to obey. And go with it. Now, they could have held back because I'm not leaving. I'm staying right here. I'm more than glad to have my tent in the desert. No. When they were sensitive to the moving of the ark, then they had to be obedient and follow it. Now, they didn't know where the ark was going to take them. If they had gone the way they wanted to, it was basically a 10-day journey from Egypt to Canaan as you follow the desert road coming up along the Mediterranean Sea. But that's not the way God led him, did he? He didn't lead him that way. He led him out of Egypt toward Sinai, out in the middle of a blazing desert. None of us would have chose that path. But God had a purpose taking them. Hear this. Don't ever question where God takes you. Just obey him. Because you don't know what's coming down the road, but he does. And all things work together for the good. To them who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. If we can somehow just learn to obey God in him, in his movement, in his direction, and quit trying, listen to this. We gotta stop overthinking stuff. Now, if you're like me, grass doesn't grow on a busy street. I'm cerebral, okay? You can see that. I think too much. And we can talk ourselves out of stuff. We can think ourselves away around stuff. When God may very well be directing us in such and such a way. And sometimes we just have to be that just do it kind of believer. When you know that you know. Now listen, if God's speaking to you, He will confirm His word with signs following. And when it's been confirmed and you know that you know, then you know, then just somehow by faith step out and follow the ark. Follow the direction of the presence of God. And then watch Him go ahead of you in ways that you can't even make up. Stuff will happen. God will bless. Doors will open. The windows of heaven. I mean, so many times we're so hesitant to obey because we don't know where the ark is going. That's not our job. Our job is to follow God. He knows where He's going. And He knows what the plans are for our lives. Instead of recoiling into the predictable and into that which we typically would be comfortable with, there might be times when God will completely put us into environments that aren't usual for us. And that's okay. Because maybe God wants to stretch us a little bit. Maybe He wants to stretch the church a little bit. Every once in a while, God will do stuff. Listen to this now. Every once in a while, God will do stuff in full gospel congregations that people haven't seen before. Every once in a while, people who've been in the church a while, when something kind of different starts happening, they'll go, well, I've never seen that before. Well, I've never seen that before. Well, that doesn't mean God isn't in it. Because who among us has seen everything, heard everything, experienced everything? If we've seen it all, heard it all, and experienced it all, we serve a pitifully small God. There are things that God yet wants to do. I believe it with all of my heart. There are things that God yet wants to do, and the usual paradigms won't be good enough. And the usual parameters will not contain it. Don't we want to see the very tsunami of God at work in our homes, our hearts, our communities, our lives? That means being willing to follow. Following Him isn't always easy because it may require some change. But all change isn't bad. Even if we like to know everything in advance and now it's all going to fall down and fall together. They had to be sensitive to the moving. They had to be obedient to move when it moved. And last of all, third of all, they had to have the faith to trust God. He knew what He was doing. And He knew where He was going. There came a point when the children of Israel themselves became impatient. And they decided to take matters into their own hands. And they really made a royal mess of it. We have to have the faith to somehow be willing to walk stuff out, trusting that God knows what He's up to. It isn't always easy for a lot of us because we would like to be able to have it all laid out with all the bullet points and everything perfectly designed. Somehow God often builds the bridge as we need it. You pick up your foot and all of a sudden there's a place to put it. But anybody ever see the Indiana Jones? But you remember that place where he's going to the Holy Grail and he's standing in that chasm and can't see a way across? Remember that image? And he lifts his foot and all of a sudden there's a place for it to land. When God is leading you, you may not always know where the next foot will fall. But He'll give you a place. Because He will make a way. Even when there doesn't seem to be a way. He will provide wherever He guides. When He is behind it, He takes care of His own responsibilities. He keeps the books. And you never have to worry in the process of it all how it's all going to shake down. Because God is the one that's in charge of it all. It's, after all, it's His ark. It's His kingdom. It's His people. It's His word. And I think I read somewhere that He stands over to perform it. God is going to be a debtor to none of us. I want you to hear what I'm going to say. We're just about ready to turn a new year. I can't believe it, but this year is almost finished. And 2019 is just around the corner. I wonder what would happen if we made it our New Year's I don't like using the word resolutions, and neither do you. Let's call it determinations. What if we made it our New Year's determination that starting at the beginning of the year, we were going to do everything in our power to obey God and just listen to Him and do whatever He told you to do? He told you to give something away, you'd give it away. Told you to go knock on someone's door, you go knock on the door. I've genuinely tried. I made a mistake. God knows I have. But if you can somehow stay sensitive like that, He'll have you do some of the craziest stuff. I mean, several years ago, I was just finishing some work in Knightstown, Indiana. Everybody know where Knightstown is? I was just finishing work in Knightstown, and I was getting ready to head home. It was about 5 a.m. or thereabouts, maybe a little later. And I looked across the road, and there was a hitchhiker. I don't pick up hitchhikers. You don't know what hitchhikers might do, who they are, what they got. So I'm pulling out of where I was conducting business, and I saw this hitchhiker across the road, and the Spirit of God said, pick him up. I thought, what? He might have a big knife in his pack or something. Like I said, I overthink stuff. And the moment God said that, I thought, oh my God, why would I do that? Why would I do that? The Spirit of God said, just pick him up. Pick him up. So I pulled my car over the side of US 40 where this guy was walking, and I said, I don't do this. But I said, the Spirit of God told me just now to pick you up. So I said, get in the car. I said, where are you going? He said he was headed east. He was trying to get to Ohio. Well, I was going to drive US 40 to just past Cambridge City, where I would turn south to come to Connersville, where I live. And so I struck up a conversation with this guy. And I said, I don't even know why I would pick you up. I've never picked up a hitchhiker in my life, but the Spirit of God told me to pick you up. I said, why would God tell me to do that? He says, I've been living in the state of Florida. I have just enough money to get to Indianapolis by bus. He said, several years ago, out of anger, I cussed my mom and dad out, who were ministers of the gospel. And they said, I ran and I found myself in the state of Florida, down and out, life totally messed up. He said, I didn't have enough, I barely had enough to get to Indianapolis by bus. I didn't have enough to get from Indy to where I had to go in Ohio to see my mom and dad. They don't even know I'm coming. But I'm going home to reconcile with my mom and dad. I've ruined my life. He said, I have walked from the downtown Indianapolis all the way here, and nobody's even stopped to ask if I needed help. I said, I think God sent me your way to help you get to your mom and dad and to see your whole life reconciled and changed. I gave him the little bit of money I had in my pocket. I took him as far as I could on US 40. And then I prayed with him. And I said, somehow I know if God impressed some preacher working at night to come help you, I got to believe that when you get home to your mom and dad, they're going to be ready to receive you with open arms. I don't know the end of the story because I never heard again from him. All I know is I've never picked up a hitchhiker in my life. And to my recollection, I don't remember picking up another one since. And I don't plan to pick up another one. But I will tell you, if you just somehow listen, you're going to have stuff happen in your life you can't make up. That all of a sudden is going to take place right in front of you. And here, this. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Stay sensitive to His presence. Stay obedient to His direction. And by faith, trust God at the end of the day that He knows what He's doing. Heavenly Father, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, I ask You today, do a work in this place and among these people who are here under the sound of My voice this morning. Maybe today you're calling out to somebody else who's walking along the roadside of life, beat up, burnt out, wore out, and maybe wonders if there even is a God that loves them or cares about them, but they're here in the service today. Heavenly Father, by the power of Your Spirit, draw near to these this morning. Show Yourself strong. And just as You led Your people by that ark, I pray You'll lead us by Your Spirit. You will show us that there are no accidents. We'll become a people that won't even believe in luck, because we'll know that all things work together for the good to them who love You, who are called according to Your purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus today, do a work. And I sense somehow, as You were dealing with me this week in the night, I sense there would be people in this house that were struggling with decisions, sensing You, but not quite understanding what that all might mean. As they are sensitive, as they're obedient, as they best they know how, mix it with faith. Father, let them begin to see that it is indeed You at work, and not just they themselves. And Father, if there be others who have decisions, choices, directions, lead them. No matter what anyone else may think, and we care not about public opinion, what we care about is obeying You. And You'll sort out the rest of those things in their appropriate time and place. Guide and lead men and women in this house today. We ask in Jesus' mighty name.